Singing is an act of compassion. That's something central to my chorus's belief, the Mystic Chorale. And it goes back to the oldest song in the world. And I want to teach you the oldest song in the world. It was sung by Lucy, or in the Bible she's called Eve. She's that first mother. She's that woman that we are all related to hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years ago. Would you all become Lucy right now, and you're holding a baby. Everyone hold a baby like this. We're going to sing a song to this baby. The first song ever sung. I did my research. So it goes like this. Ah.
Ah.
And the baby went, ah.
Ah.
Put the baby down. The mother looked up at the moon, had a sense of awe, and went, ooh.
Ooh.
And the baby went,
ooh.
The mother was frightened and went,
ah!
And the baby went,
ah!
Ah!
His voice changed. The point is, you go anywhere in the world, and people sing all around the world. You go anywhere in the world, and they're going to let these emotions out through song. And it started with the emotions just coming out as vowels. It grew into the drumming, which is something that evolved into the music we have today. And we're talking today about, you know, history and about legacies, about the work. I studied with Norna Cook de Varon, and it's something that changed my life. Francis Judd Cook at New England Conservatory changed my life, this man. Taught me to be a New Englander. You know? And if any of you knew Francis Judd Cook, you know what that means. And so it's that legacy passed on. I had a privilege of working with a man named Chris Moore. He founded the Chicago Children's Choir about 55 years ago in Chicago. He had, for him, it was a legacy that lived on from his experience at Harvard University, singing with the Glee Club under Woody, and the legendary Woody. And what he loved about that experience was that there were no auditions, and everyone was welcome. With the assumption that you had to be amazing. Okay? And that's a very important part of it. You have to be amazing. So he brought that philosophy to Chicago, and this is during the Civil Rights Movement, and he started the Chicago Children's Choir, the first children's choir with black and white kids together, which was hard work because, you know, you say, I want to have black kids in my chorus, they're not going to come. You have to go and you have to pick them up and you have to bring them. It was hard work. But his vision lives on today, and now there are over 6,000 children in the Chicago Children's Choir program, all in schools throughout the city. It's absolutely huge. And his legacy lives on. So a few years after leaving Chicago, I got to work with this amazing woman named Ezi Barnwell. And she is someone who leads songs. She's a song leader. She sings with a group called Sweet Honey and the Rock, women who sing the African and African-American music. And what she does in these sing-alongs is she turns a group of people who have never met before into a community. She does the oldest song in the world. Ah, all right? And like the music that all of us do, all right, foray, all right? The Spirit of God is in all of this music. It just sings out, and it's part of that. So from Ezi Barnwell, I was very inspired to bring in the audience and form this choir called the Mystic Chorale. And then I met Alice Parker, and she also changed my life because of her belief in getting people to sing. All right. So the Mystic Chorale started in 1990. We're a non-audition chorus, which is why we have 100 altos. And 20 tenors, and the 20 tenors drown out the altos. Don't ask me why, they're just anyway. We do three concerts a year, fall, that I conduct. I do a fall and a spring concert, 2 days, Saturday and a Sunday. And then we have a guest artist, Jonathan Singleton, who comes in and does a gospel concert in the winter. We have over 200 singers in our chorus, sometimes as many as 250. We make professional grade recordings. Here's our 20th anniversary, triple CD, 57 amazing songs. We have professional artists doing our artwork. Here's our upcoming Over the Rainbow concert. flyers around. We're mainly a volunteer group. We have two paid people, well, three, including the accompanist, myself, and an administrator. We have an amazing board, two of whom are here today, and they work their buns off to make sure things work. And they also are the group that says, when I go to them and I say, I want to do a concert where we all get in inflatable balloons and go up in the air. And they're the ones that say, no. I transcribe or arrange most of the music we do. The music is drawn from folk. It's drawn from world music. This fall, we're going to be doing a bluegrass concert. And the next year, we're going to do a Misa Eclectica with movements from the Mass from all around the world. And so we do a whole mix of music. But what's and we have a jazz band that we work with. Instead of an orchestra, we have a jazz band, or in the fall, a bluegrass band. We have a lot of soloists. Everything is sung from memory, always. We do occasional things at nursing homes and senior centers. We have toured Europe and Central America. And we like to go to New York occasionally to perform there. And we are part of a growing alternative choral movement, okay, of which there are choruses all over the place. Groups in Vermont, like Village Harmony, and related groups that do shape note music, Bulgarian music, South African music, and do it very authentic, very, very much a living music. Groups like Chris Eastburn's group in Arlington, they're called Family Folk Chorale. 5-year-olds to 80-year-olds, singing mainly folk music. Last week they did a concert of music by Bill Staines. Groups that I've met all over my travels in Ireland, groups in Ireland that are very alternative, that learn songs in the oral tradition instead of from the written page. People like Bob Kidd, who died 2 weeks ago. I dedicated my book, Sing With Us, to him, my songbook. This is a man who every day in his elementary school in Norman, Oklahoma, it started with 15 minutes of singing the entire school. Francis Judd Cook, my organist growing up in Lexington, Mass. Every Christmas, he would have the congregation come a half hour early, he would pass out the Hallelujah Chorus, and he would teach it to the congregation. Because he said, your number one choir is always your congregation. And that was his philosophy. And so that's the legacy that I've been part of, and I feel very blessed. And that's all I'm going to say for now.
Thank you, Nick.